You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Balcony. We're going to play a track from CD that they brought in. We'll do some talking and we'll do some live stuff. You're in for a treat. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Balcony. Hey, guys.
Hey.
So why don't we start with introductions? Who are you? What do you play?
Hi, I'm Sean, and I play the mandolin.
Hello, my name is Christian Tierbach IV. I play the South American harp.
My name's Matt Buchan. I play the violin.
So tell me real quick, like, when someone asks, someone says, oh, you guys are in a band I heard about, it's called Balcony, what do you do? What is the pitch? 25 words or less.
Well, every time I tell someone I play mandolin in a group, they say, oh, bluegrass? Great. And I say, no, my mandolin style is more of like a Italian style, but more of my own style that I've come up with, because I'm actually a bass player. Turned mandolin player, so.
Oh, that's an interesting transition.
Yeah, both have four strings, or mandolin has eight strings, but kind of.
Yeah, it's pretty similar.
similar.
The main thing I say is that the harp is a one-of-a-kind harp. There's only a few of them in the world, really. It's a South American harp.
Yes, handcrafted in Paraguay.
But what is balcony? As an instrumental act, how do you describe it genre-wise?
It's hard to say. It's kind of like classical music, but it has a groove to it, which is kind of inexistent in classical music. There's a lot of meter changes and stuff. We'll play in some odd meters. We play in a lot of 3/4 time, some 4/4. We'll get some crazy things going, like 7. But usually classical music is ever changing, and this has a groove. You can kind of like get into a trance. It's more relaxing, I think, with the groove, and you can, I don't know, kind of meditate with it and just let it seep into your subconscious and really enjoy it.
I can barely see you behind the harp. Well, why don't we jump into a live song, and then we'll talk about how each of you sort of found your instruments and then developed the balcony sound together. You're listening to Balcony on Is Good on killradio.org. Thank you. Nice. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Balcony. So let's talk about, you were telling me before about transitioning from bass to mandolin. How did it all begin? How did you get involved in the in a guitar-based instrument in the first place?
Chris, the harpist, bought his harp, and we've been friends for a long time, and I was just trying to think of an instrument that would complement his compositions that he was creating. And into my head popped the mandolin, I guess because of the Losing My Religion song by R.E.M. I always loved that, and I pictured the sound of that on the harp, and bought a mandolin, and here we are today.
But how'd you get involved in music in the first place?
Chris was playing drums in fifth grade or sixth grade, and him and this older guy, Graham played the bass, and I didn't know what to do. I knew I wanted to be in the group, but I knew I had to be a part of it, just as like a friendship group thing, you know. I had to be part of it. So I tried out a singer, and I was a singer for that band for a couple days until I bought my bass, and then replaced Graham on the bass.
They liked you better when you didn't sing.
Yeah. I don't know if that was it, but I was good at the bass.
And how did you? What are the main differences between a mandolin and a bass in terms of the way that you play it?
I play the mandolin with, I don't know, what is that method where you're like, like what's that method called?
I'm using a pick.
Was it easy to, no pun intended, was it easy to pick up on, like, just?
Yeah, it was. I bought a beginning mandolin chord book and learned the main chords, and then I'd start by asking Chris, you know, what are you playing, an A or whatever, and then just kind of plug in the chords where necessary.
If someone were listening to you, would they be able to say, oh, he plays mandolin like a bass player? Is that detectable?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Not really.
So that's a good thing then. So how do you see yourself fitting in to this group? Like the sound that you bring, the mandolin that you bring to the group. Like what is the purpose of the mandolin in Balcony?
To just create a scenic backdrop to what the harp is doing, not to fight against or put on top of it. It's more just to bring out the colors of the harp, of the compositions he's making.
All right, well, Chris, then, since you sort of, it seems like you represent sort of the genesis of this whole project, tell me about how you got into music in the first place, like as a kid.
I was in fifth grade, I was 9 years old, and I started taking private drum set lessons from a guy called Scott Smith. He was the drummer of a group called Alexa's Wish. And he was a really cool drummer, really into rock music. He had long hair and stuff. And I was trying to learn Pearl Jam beats and Metallica beats. And he was really cool about that. We would kind of talk about the technical stuff and music notation and stuff, but really, I would bring in a tape, and he would teach me the beat just kind of by ear, and I would play along and practice that. So I started playing in bands and stuff, playing drums, and did that for a few years. I kind of picked up the guitar, learning it from different friends who played guitar around me. And I never took a guitar lesson, but I kind of messed around with it, wrote some little songs and stuff. And
what were some of the bands you were listening to around that time?
When I was younger, I was really into Nirvana and Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Pearl Jam, that kind of stuff. But then I started getting into more like punk rock stuff, and I was listening to like The Descendents and FYP, DFL, stuff like that, and like the local bands from Riverside, where we're from. And started getting into that, and then I started chilling out on some Bob Marley and stuff. I was getting like 15, 16,
I started taking harp lessons when I was 16 from a man. His name is Alfredo Rolando Ortiz. He lives in Corona, California, which is right next to Riverside.
And how did you arrive at taking harp lessons?
Well, I had a divine intervention one day that said, I want to play harp. I have no idea where it came from, but I got the notion to try to hunt down a harp teacher. And I looked in the yellow pages and I saw a music shop that said, we teach all instruments. So I called them. They didn't teach the harp, but they had a flyer in their shop for this guy, Alfredo, who was supposedly this world-renowned harpist, and he lived in the area. So I end up calling this. They give me his number. I call him up, and it's actually his house number, so he just answers, hello. And I'm like, hi, I'm the 16-year-old kid who knows nothing about harp, and he's used to teaching these, like, really people who already play the harp, and he's a phenomenal teacher, and he's the most amazing harpist I've ever heard. And so it was an honor to take lessons from him. I took lessons for about 2 years, and then I just started writing my own songs with this, and Sean picked up the mandolin, and me and Sean at the time were jamming drums and bass, too, and we met up with Matt in high school, and Matt played the guitar, and he wanted to jam with us because we were playing bass and drums, and he wanted to get involved in that. So we started jamming with him, and then a fluke asked us, hey, that'd be cool if you played violin or something, you know, to match this other thing we're just starting, you know. And he said, oh, I've been playing violin since I was 9 years old or whatever. And so it just worked out perfectly.
What do you think it is about the harp sonically that really drew you to it? What was that divine message?
Well, as it turns out, I don't know about the divine message that I received, but as luck would have it, the harp that I ended up learning turns out to be, I think, the best sounding harp around, the Paraguayan style, because it has this huge acoustic body and the nylon strings and the way that it's crafted. The strings come through the middle, which a lot of harps that come down the
on
side.
On the side, right.
Which, and
yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one quite like that.
Yeah, the Paraguayan harp is really unique, and I think it's the best sounding harp, so
is
I really
it,
lucked out.
Is it, does it require different skill to play the Paraguayan harp than another harp?
It's definitely completely different from, say, a classical harp, because, well, for one thing, I'm restricted with my keys. I don't have levers. A lot of these style harps have levers that you can switch to make them sharp, but I'm pretty much stuck in one key, and that's F major, D minor, you know. But I can play modal stuff and give the illusion of playing in different keys, but then I'm limited on my notes. But that's kind of the downfall, but the plus is definitely cool because the bass tones on these harps are really amazing. I mean, it sounds like a bass. You can play a bass rhythm and then like a melody with your right hand. And there's all these different techniques that I've learned as far as like Latin music is concerned and South American music that have really helped me just be able to write my own stuff and kind of make something totally unique and different from anything I've ever really heard.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Matt, tell me about... How did you find yourself playing violin opposite a harp and a mandolin?
Well, I just began playing violin in school. They had a program where they taught all the kids how to play violin. And so I played the violin because my brother had started and he quit. And I said, oh, I'm going to play it and not quit. And then after I started playing guitar, I kind of was like, I slowly was just moving away from the violin. And I basically put the violin down when I met Sean. And like Chris kind of already said, they called me up and they were like, hey, do you play the violin? And I was like, of course, I've always played the violin, you know? and so they came over, I blew the dust off the violin. They came over, we were setting up on the patio, and I just remember like the very first second we started playing, just we played for like half a second, and then me and Chris just started laughing hysterically because it sounded so sweet and so nice, and we were like, oh, so it's like one of those meant-to-be things. And then the other most crazy coincidence of all is that like Chris found a 200-year-old badass violin in his attic. So
he was just sitting there waiting for you to play,
yeah, he hooked
play,
me up,
huh?
With a fat violin. So that's the story.
Talk about divine intervention. So it sounds like all of the pieces kind of fell into place. Yep. And what is the violin's purpose in Balcony? What is the quality that it brings to the
violin
to the full
is kind of almost like a vocal. I'd say it like carries like a melody, but it's interesting because Chris writes the songs on the harp, you know. So the harp, the melody is really in the harp, and I'm just, it's kind of like Sean is almost like a second harp with the mandolin, like if you listen closely, and then it's kind of just like I'm bringing out the harp. So Sean and mine, our job is really to bring out what Chris has already made, you know, rather than like try to change what he's made. We try to bring out, like, I try to bring out the melody, and Sean like brings out accents.
So is that how the process starts, where you write it, Chris, you write a song on harp, and then you guys just kind of jam along with it and come up with stuff to fill out the sound?
Exactly. Let's try to make it as complimentary.
Well, can we jump into another live song then? Yeah. On that note, you're listening to Balcony, who's my guest on Is Good on killradio.org. Whenever you're ready. Thank you.